Good morning. Today's Afim B'Metzias, Test Vav 15. We are starting today on Yudal Amud Beis, and we're going to be starting towards the top. We're going to go back to Itmar. Amocher Sardel L'Chaver V'Nimsa Sheinu Shelo. I know I usually give a little more background in terms of the Gemara, but we are continuing our discussion here in B'Metzias in the first parak regarding how exactly liens work, and when you exercise a lien, what are you collecting? And continue along these lines. Amocher Sardel L'Chaver V'Nimsa Sheinu Shelo. So you sell a field. And it turns out that the field that you sold does not belong to the seller. In other words, the seller stole it. So Rav Amar Yeshlo Maos VYeshlo Shevach Ushmal Amar Maos VYeshlo Shevach Einlo. Okay, so we opened this up yesterday, and let's review. Let's reiterate. So at this point in time now, so the nigzel, the victim, in other words, the original owner of the field, is going to take back the field. Okay, well, good. So we're well past that stage now of the field going back to its rightful owner. But now what we're looking at over here is as follows, and that is I purchased a stolen property. Okay, so now at this point in time, I got to go back to the seller because I want my reimbursement of it. So as far as the purchase price is concerned, obviously you're entitled to a full reimbursement of the purchase price. There's nothing to discuss over there. There's nothing to deliberate. That's obvious. The issue which we're going to be spending a lot of time in today's daf is the following, and that is going to be the shevach. Okay, and that's going to be the appreciated value of the property, the improved value of the property. Okay, now. Right, in terms of Shevach, generally speaking, properties go up in price. In other words, and we've seen that over our lifetimes. We've also seen it go down as well. But when the Gemara speaks about Shevach, what the Gemara talks about is that you put improvements into the land, and as a result of the improvements, now the property values go up. Now, we'll talk more about this later on this morning, and that is that there are hotzos, meaning that when you put improvements into the property, obviously that means that you need to invest money as well. So that's the hotzos. That's the invested money that goes into the improved property. And yes, sometimes people decide to put a tremendous amount of money into the property, and the improved value of the property doesn't exceed the invested money that went in. Okay, that's true. But for our purposes right now, to keep it as simple as possible, let's assume that the shevach, that the improved value exceeds the hotzos. So in other words, what we're looking at is the following, and that is that you purchased a property, happens to have been a stolen property, but you purchased it, you put money into it, and now it went up in value. Far, far greater than, doesn't have to be far, but greater than that of what you invested in the property. Good. So now you're seeking reimbursement. So when you're seeking reimbursement from the seller, so now what are you going to get back? So Shmuel says, as far as the purchase price is concerned, you're getting back the purchase price. That's obvious. In other words, it's just obvious. So it's self-evident. But in terms of the Shevach, are you going to be able to collect the Shevach? Shmuel says no. No. You will not be able to collect the Shevach. Now, why not? That's a great question. So, let's say that the Mocher says to the Lokeach, look, what I'm going to do is I'm going to reimburse you the Shevach. Meaning maybe as part of the contractual agreement. Remember, yesterday we discussed how they didn't have title insurance as a third party back in the good old days. Back in the good old days. So if there was going to be any coverage that was provided for the property that was sold, the coverage would be provided by the seller. The seller would also be title insurance as well, if he elected to. He didn't have to. But if he elected to, so then he could cover for the title. So now, if let's say, this is a question that we're posing for Shmuel. Let's say that when the seller sold the property, right, think about how magnanimous he is, by the way. Not only am I going to be covering you for the purchase price if it's taken away from you, but I'm also covering you for the Shevach as well. And all the while, by the way, here comes the big reveal, all the while he's a thief. And the property didn't belong to him, right? It's just fantastic. Anyway, so what the Gemara now wants to know is that Shmuel's position, that you're not going to get reimbursed Shevach. What if the seller actually puts that as part of the coverage? In other words, I'm going to sell you the property as part of the sale. I'm going to be covering you for purchase price, and I'm going to be covering you for Shevach as well. So the Gemara says, now, why is that a question? Gemara says, because what we really have to do is that we have to understand Shmuel. Time of the Shmuel, Mishum Dola Pirish, Chavahacha Pirish Lay. So it could very well be that it just simply wasn't part of the coverage. And if you include it as part of the coverage, then obviously it's going to be included. That's one possibility. But the Gemara says, but I'll give you another possibility. Odilma, time of the Shmuel, Kevin Delay Slay. Karka, so mechzik ribis. So the Gemara says, because there's no property, and because there's no property, it therefore looks like ribis. Okay, consider it. Just look at it from the perspective of the buyer. What did the buyer do? He gave the seller a lot of money, and he got back a lot more money. Now, we understand, by the way, in other words, it was because it was in exchange for a property. In other words, and it turns out that the property didn't belong to the seller. And the property was then returned back to the original owner. And the seller now is just reimbursing. In other words, great, we have wonderful explanations. But again, just from an appearance standpoint, I gave him X, I got back X plus Y. Oh, okay. So it's mechzei k'ribis, it looks like ribis, and maybe that's really what's driving Shmuel's position. So Amalu in love Rafia Biade. Now, the question was posed, meaning what is really going on behind Shmuel? Is it just simply that it wasn't including the coverage or because it looks like ribis? So when he was asked the question, sometimes he said yes, sometimes he said no, and he just simply Rafia Biade, he didn't know. So Idmar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel Maos Yeshlo Shevach Ein Lo. So Rav Nachman had clarity in Shmuel's position. Absolute clarity. Which is that what's driving Shmuel over here is Mechzei K'ribis. It looks like interest. It looks like you have charged interest and you have gotten interest in exchange for the money that you quote-unquote lent. Okay, good. So as a result of that, so that means to say that the purchaser is not going to be able to get reimbursed Shevach. Okay, so we now are going to be litigating for a good part of today's daf, this position of Shmuel. I know we're still in yesterday's daf, but we'll be here for a while. So everyone sit back, get comfortable. Admittedly, some of these gemaras are not going to be super easy, but the idea, the kernel of the idea, is actually pretty straightforward. And that is that in the event that you purchased a property, now the property was removed from you, rightfully so, because the property didn't belong to the seller. And now you're seeking reimbursement from the seller. So according to Shmuel, so the purchase price you absolutely can get reimbursed for. In other words, he put that as part of the coverage. But what you cannot get back is you can't get back Shevach. You invested money into the property. The property now went up in value. That you can't get back as a reimbursement. And why can't you get back, that back as a reimbursement? Mechzei K'ribis. Because it looks like interest. Okay. Right? I was thinking, Phil, that thought I was thinking as well. Right. In other words, it does seem to be now.
Everybody knows how he improved.
Again, just keep in mind, whatever money he invests, as in other words, the hotzos, that he is going to get reimbursed for. In other words, what he is not going to be successfully getting reimbursed for is the improved value. Okay, but Phil, I still thought the same thing you thought. In other words, it now does seem to be unfair just because the seller himself was disingenuous, otherwise known as a thief. Okay, but anyway, that's Shmuel's position. Eisvei Rav La Rav Nachman. So now we have a Mishnah in Gittin Ein Motziin Lachilos Peros V'Shevach Karkaos U'Mazani Shavabanos Menachas Meshubanim Emnei Tikkun Olam. I think we just went straight forward. I think I did good. Okay. So we are correct. We're on Yud Dal Amud Beis 14b. We're right in the middle of the Amud. We're right now quoting the Mishnah Gittin. So here we are now quoting a Mishnah, the fifth parak of Gittin, and that is that because of Tikkun Olam, so what you're not allowed to do is you're not allowed to encumber certain properties for certain obligations. Okay, please be relieved from having to explain each one of these cases over here. When we did the Mishnah Gittin, and we went through each one of the cases. And right now, I'm just going to be focusing on the one case in which is relevant to us. So, So over here, what did we just learn in that Mishnah Gittin? So what we learned in the Mishnah Gittin is as follows, and that is that we learned that for Shevach Karkos, you can't collect from encumbered properties, but what you are allowed to collect is from any assets that he currently has. And it says Shevach Karka. The improvement. Now, the Mishnah Gittin is describing what? Isn't it describing Gzela? Meaning, again, our case over here. Somebody stole a property, sold the property, and now the property is taken back by its rightful owner, and now I'm looking for a reimbursement. And the Mishnah Gittin is telling me that for the purchase price, so I'm going to be able to seek reimbursement, and not only seek reimbursement, by the way, in other words, I have a lien on that, because again, as part of the deal of the sale, so he provided coverage. That coverage was written down. So therefore, I'm going to be entitled to collect on that purchase price. And I have a lien on that. Now, as far as Shevach is concerned, so I don't have a lien on it, but I still can go after him for any assets that he currently has. That's the Mishnah in Gittin. Now, if that's true, obviously that's difficult for Shmuel. So, I read it. Lo. So the Gemara says no. No, the Mishnah Gittin is talking about a Balchov, regular creditor. So the Gemara says, okay, we're talking about the Balchov, so what about the Peros? So the Gemara says, the Mishnah Gittin says that you don't collect Peros. Iba Balchov, Balchov, mi Islay Peyre. So the, so now if we're talking about a Balchov, so Vamar Shmuel Balchov Gove es a Shevach, Shevach in Eva Peres loan. Shmuel says that when it comes to a Balchov, a regular creditor exercising his lien on a property so that he'd be able to get reimbursed for that loan, for the defaulted loan. So what he can do, regular Balchov, is that he can collect the karka, he can collect Shevach, but he can't collect Peros. So the Gemara says, Elapshita begoz of a Nigzal. So the Gemara says, okay, so we're talking about a gozo Nigzal. We're talking about the victim of theft. So they give him the ratio because of an exal, Seifa because of a Nami because of an exal. And so the Gemara says, so if the Peros scenario is talking about goes of an exal, so the Shevach is also talking about goes of an exal. And once again, it's difficult for Shmuel because Shmuel says that you don't collect Shevach. So So the Gemara says, no. The Gemara says, no, what we could do is that Mishnah Gittin, each case we take by a case-by-case scenario. The case of Peros is talking about a regular is talking about goes of an exal. The case of Shevach is talking about a regular Balchov. Okay. So at this point in time right now, we do not yet have, we have not refuted Shmuel's position. Again, let's reset what we're discussing right now. In the event that you purchase a property and that property now goes back to its original owner because the seller never had the right to sell it to you. Okay, good. He's a thief. So, you know what I mean? So as part of being a thief, he sells stolen property. Good. So you purchase stolen property and now, after the land has been taken away from you, now you're seeking reimbursement, you are absolutely going to be receiving every dollar back for the purchase price. The only thing we're discussing right now is Shevach. Are you going to be able to collect Shevach? There's an improved value of it. Can you collect Shevach? Shmuel says no. Why? So Rav Nachman's explanation of Shmuel is because Mechze Karibis. It looks like interest. And now we continue discussing this position of Shmuel. Vahalo Tinihachi, the Gemara says, okay, I'm going to show you a Braisa. So, L'shevach karkaos ketzad. So as far as shevach karkaos is concerned, so what does that look like? Meaning, this Braisa is commenting on the Mishnah Gittin that we just did together. So, okay, good. The Braisa over here clarifies. So what happens is, what we're describing, you purchase a stolen property, property now was taken away from you, and now you're seeking reimbursement. So as far as the purchase price is concerned, that you're going to get from Nechasim Mishubadim. Shevach, you're collecting from Nechasim Bnei Chorin. Okay. Braisa says it really clearly. And again, now this Braisa is not like Shmuel. Because Shmuel says that the Shevach, you're not going to be able to collect. So Hechidami Ile Mekediktani So Gazami Mangave. Now the Gemara says, now, I read the Braisa, but I did something. I wasn't faithful to the words of the Braisa. The Braisa says, in other words, it sounds like the Gazlan's able to collect. Now that's absurd. The Gazlan's not collecting from anybody. He's the one who stole. So Gazlan mimangabe elalav kigon shegazlan sadem echaveru machalach v'ishbicha. So in other words, so obviously the way to interpret the Braisa is the way I presented the Braisa. Okay, I'm sorry. What I should have done first is I should have explained the Braisa faithfully, word by word. But as I read the Braisa, I realized you can't explain the Braisa literally because the Gazlan's collecting. Gazlan's collecting from nobody. In other words, we're all collecting from the Gazlan, right? The original owner takes back his property, and the buyer now wants a reimbursement for the money. So it must be. So the Gemara now is assuming that what the Braisa meant is that we're looking now from the perspective of the buyer and his now his interest in collecting the purchase price and the Shevach. And again, if we're reading the Braisa correctly, it comes out now that as far as the buyer is concerned, so he can collect the Shevach from the Gazlan, not like Shmuel. Amalei lav terutzi kametarasa terutz nami bebachov. So the Gemara says, okay, but look, you know what you did. You edited the Braisa. So you know what? As long as we're editing the Braisa, so we'll just edit some more. The Braisa is not talking about a gazlan. Now, this is a strong edit, by the way, because the Braisa says the word gazlan. Okay, I know. But you had to edit anyway. It's clearly the Braisa is corrupted. So, good, good. So, we'll take out the word gzela. We'll insert bachov. Okay. Tashma. We're on the very bottom of Yudal and Beis. We're trying again. And once again, Shmuel, right? I told you, a good part of today is going to be following this position of Shmuel, that you're not going to be able to collect Shevach. So, Tashma, Lachilos Peros, Ketzad. Okay, so here we are. We're going to do this a second round, meaning the Mishnah Gittin in the fifth parak, which we read already, and now the Braisa explaining what the Mishnah is talking about. The Mishnah just simply says two words, Lachilos Peros. What does that mean? Ketzad. And once again now, in our second round, we're experiencing the same exact problem. And that is that the Gazlan now is collecting. What are you talking about the Gazlan's collecting? Gazlan's collecting from nobody. The Gazlan was the one who stole. We're collecting from him. So in other words, the Braisa needs an edit. So so it's talking about where the Gazlan sold it to somebody, and now the purchaser of that property is looking for reimbursement. So now let's set it up. If that's in fact the case, so now what's happening is that the buyer of the stolen property now, after the property has been being taken away, is now seeking a reimbursement, and he's entitled. He's entitled to reimbursement for the purchase price, presumably the shavach and the peros. He's going to receive reimbursement for all that. And again, if that's right, if we're right in the way we're describing the braisa, once again, that's difficult for Shmuel. So Amaravach b'maiskinan kigon shigazol sadeh mechaver malei peros v'achal es peros v'chafar ba'bar shechinu ma'aros. So the Gemara says, no, I'll tell you what. As far as the Braisa is concerned, the Braisa is talking about the following scenario. And that is that somebody stole a property, and it was filled with fruit. And what did the thief do? The thief made a mess out of everything. As far as the fruit is concerned, the thief ate the fruit. As far as the property is concerned, he destroyed the property, digging holes into the property. So, excavating and really doing a number on everything. So, and over here, what the Braisa is describing is not somebody who bought from the thief, but we're talking about the actual collection from the thief itself. So, as far as the property is concerned, the property is a fixed value, and as such, now, so what the original owner, the victim. So what he's able to collect now is going to be the value of the property. Minachasim mishubadim. And he's got an encumbrance on that. So and as far as Paris is concerned, Paris is not a fixed value. And because the Paris are not a fixed value, he can only collect from assets that the thief is currently holding, but not mishubadim. That's what the Braisa is talking about. Again, what we gain from all that is now the Braisa is not talking about buying from a thief, and the Braisa is not at all imposing on Shmuel's position. Rava Baravuna Amar, the Gemara says, I'll give you another answer as we turn to the top of today's Daf Tezvav Amin Aleph, and that is Shinat Luma Sikin. So so what's happening over here is the following, and that is that you stole a property, and then the Masikin come and take it from you. Masikin are very strong non-Jewish agency. Okay, this all should sound familiar. We did this at the end of Baba Kama. Rashi reminds us, Kuf Tez Zayin, right? That's the tail end of Baba Kama. We did this in the 10th Perek. And that is that if you remember, if you recall, we learned there's a distinction in terms of whether or not this was this was ubiquitous. In other words, the Masikin were taken from everybody versus the Masikin taken from you because they found a person that they could take advantage of. Anyway, okay, without going too many details, sorry. Let's just try to keep this simple. And that is that now not Lua Masikin, so now what the Masikin come is they came and they took it from the Gazlan. So Banig Zalagavos, Karen Govim Nechasim Shubadim, Banig Zalagavos Paris Govim Nechasim Nechorin. And so now, there's no way the owner is going to be able to get back his property. What happened? The property was stolen and then repossessed by the Masikin. Property is gone. And so now the only thing we're looking to collect over here is the reimbursement. The Nigzal is going to the Gazlan and seeking reimbursement from the Gazlan. So The nigzal now, as far as the property itself is concerned, the appraised value of the property, that nechasa meshubadim. As far as Paris is concerned, only nechasa menecharim, because again, it's a variable, it's not a fixed amount.
The Goslin and the Masikin are the same or different?
No. In other words, the Goslin stole, and then the Masikin ripped it from the Goslin. And now, the Goslin still has an obligation to reimburse it, just no longer has the property. Okay. So we just gave two presentations of the Braisa. In other words, all we're trying to do is avoid the scenario in which the Goslin sold it. And the Gemara just gave two ways in which we avoided that scenario. One is where the Goslin destroyed the property. That's why he can't just simply return the property. Or two is then the Masikin came and took the property from the Goslin. But in both scenarios, what we're looking now is a reimbursement from the Goslin to the Nigzal. And that's why we're talking about Paris and Shevach. So the Gemara says, Rava lo amar ki Rava baravuna hari yotzeis mitachas yado bedina mashma. Okay, so as far, in other words, then the Gemara now is just going through the back and forth of why did each Amara give their explanation of the price and not the other one. Rava favors his own explanation. So the Rava gave the case of destroying the property because hari yotzeis mitachas yado bedina mashma. In other words, because what it sounds like is that I'm taking it from him correctly. So the in Rava Baravuna lo amar karava hare yose mitachas yado beina mashma. In other words, the language of hare yose mitachas yado. So the it's beina. In other words, it was taken from the Goslin. In other words, taken by the Masikin. Okay. In other words, textual proofs that would favor one of those two interpretations. Rav Ashi Amar Litzadin Katani, the Gemara says, I'll give you a third way to explain the Braisa, and that is, Kegon Shekazal Sada Mechaver, Malei Aperos V'Achal, Saperos V'Machar Sada. In other words, what happened is the following, the Goslin stole, and before the Goslin sold the property, what the first thing the Goslin did is he ate all the Peros. And then he sold the property. Okay, wonderful. But again, what do we gain from this now? So no longer are we looking at the buyer having to get reimbursed for the peros. There were no peros. The Goslin ate the peros. Now, balokech ligvos karen govim nechas meshubadim ba nigzal ligavos aperos govim nechas menecharen. And now, look, as far as the Goslin is concerned, everyone's going after him. The buyer's going after him, but for the purchase price. Good, and which he's entitled to. And now the original owner is going after the Goslin because the Goslin now ate all the peros. And as far as reimbursement to the Paris is concerned, from the Goslin to the Nigzal, so for that, you are not going to be paying, I'm sorry, that obligation is only coming from B'nei Chor, not from Mishubadim again, because Paris are a variable, not a fixed. And so for variable, and because of Tikkun Olam, so the Chachamim said you can only collect from assets that he currently has, but not from Mishubadim. Okay, we're almost done with this thread of the Gemara. I realize we're so far deep. So bein l'rava, bein l'rava b'ravuna. So milva alpehu, milva alpehinu govim nechasim meshubadim. So the Gemara says, okay, I'm a little bit confused over the following, meaning, let's go back over the two scenarios that we described earlier in this Braisa. What happened in the Braisa? The Goslin stole. Okay, so now just give back the property, right? So either for one of two reasons, the Goslin can't give back the property. A, he destroyed it. Or B, it was taken away from Masikin. Either way, he can't bring back the property. He can't provide the property. And so now what he does is he owes the Nigzal. Good. He owes the Nigzal, and the Nigzal now can collect either from assets that are currently held by the Goslin. Alternatively, he can go after Mishubadim. The Gemara now just pauses for a moment and thinks. And the Gemara is now thinking, wait one second. The Nigzal can collect from Nechasim Meshubadim, in other words, it's not a contracted obligation. Nechasim Meshubadim allows you to exercise a lien that you have on a property, but again, we're doing something, I'm going to say radical, it's not radical, but in other words, we're taking it away from a buyer. And remember, the Chachamim were very concerned about protecting buyers. So the only time that the buyer is going to have exposure is when it's a documented sale. Over here, it's not a documented sale. What happened over here is that the Goslin stole it, and now, either because he destroyed it or because Masikin took it away from him, and so now what we're going to do is that we're going to allow the Nigzal to go and collect not only from assets that are by the Goslin, but even assets that were sold by the Goslin. But this is there was no documentation over here. There's no shtar. It's a milvah al peh. It's an obligation, but it's not a documented obligation. There should be no lien on the properties of the gazlan. So milvah peh no gover minachasim meshubadim. So hachib by ma'iskin and kishamad bedin v'hadar zavin. So the Gemara says, okay, so I'll tell you how it works. The case under discussion, under review as follows. The gazlan stole, and after the gazlan stole, they went to court. And now court order, you must return the property. And after the court order, now the gazlan destroyed the property, or the masikin took it away from the gazlan. But once there's a court order is no different than documentation. Right?
That's a
lien. Right, Rashi, perfect. Rashi writes, it says, as soon as I find it, found it. Rashi's about 10 lines from the top of the Amud Kishamar Bedin, Kodim Shemachar Nechasav. The cave of the Chayvu Basin is Le Kala. Vahavale Kemilva Bishtar. A court order is tantamount to that of a Milva Bishtar. In other words, both generate coal. They both create publicity of this property and the movement of the property. And as a result of that, so now it's a milva bishtar, and anyone who purchased it, now he should have done due diligence. He should have discovered either that there was a documented loan against his property, or in this particular case, court order that the property needs to be returned. Okay, good.
What about
Dalva
and
Hay? No. We're Nadalva is my animals. Come on. This is property.
Yeah.
So the Gemara says, Yahachi Peres Nami, Kisham, I'm sorry. So the Vahadar Zavin, Yahachi Peres Nami. So Kisham Bedin Alakem, Valama Bedin Alaperos. The Gemara says, okay, there was a Hamada Din on the property, but not on the Peros. The Gemara says, my Pascha. And the Gemara says, that seems to be a little bit arbitrary, right? And the Gemara says, no, Stama Demilsa. Kitava Inish, Karna Tava Beresha. So the Gemara says, no, it's not arbitrary. In other words, when I'm demanding reimbursement, the first thing I'm thinking to myself is, let me get my property back. In other words, I understand Paris as well. But first things first, Karen. In other words, I want the property back, and then afterwards we'll worry about the Paris. I don't know.
The Paris were never collected from the Chasam Mishabad.
Right, but in other words, this is a Gazan. And so what we're doing is we're taking the Gazan to court. Obviously in court, you can now demand, in other words, you stole my property and you stole my Paris as well. So the Gemara says, yeah, but there was no court order on the Paris. And to which the Gemara says, come on, what do you mean there's no court order in the Paris? Meaning, why would the court do that? So, whatever, I am struggling with this answer. But the Gemara is saying, yeah, but when you go to court, the first thing I'm worried about is my property. Okay. In other words, all this, by the way, in other words, I know all this is confusing. What we've been doing now for the last 10 minutes, 15 minutes, is that we've been now moving away from a buyer buying it from the Gazan. We're talking about the Gazan himself. In other words, the Gazan himself stole the property, and now the victim now is demanding, give me back my property, give me back everything that you stole from me, period.
The original victim.
Yeah, give me everything back. And the reason why we are doing all this, meaning it's a lot of bending in terms of understanding the brisa. The reason why we're doing all this is because Shmuel's of the position that when a buyer buys property, and now he gets, in other words, and the property was taken away, so that coverage will only allow him reimbursement on the purchase price, but not on the improvement, not on the shevach. And that's Shmuel's position. It's Mechze Karibis. And so now we've been negotiating all these brises, and the Gemara says, leave these brises out of the discussion. These brises are talking about a direct litigation between Gazlan and Nigzal.
If the original victim of theft
yeah.
gets his property back,
yeah.
does he have to pay for the sheva?
No. It's his property. It's his. In other words, he gets the property. He gets the shevach. It's all his. In other words, when you're going after the Gazlan, you get to take everything back. The only thing now that we were struggling with is that, why aren't you able to collect from the Peros? Meaning, and the Gemara's answer is that, well, there was no court order in the Peros. The Gemara says, no court order in the Peros? Gemara says, yeah.
I think his question, though, is if the Gazan sells it to a third party.
No. Again, don't make it. No, that's not his question. The Gemara right now is talking about a direct confrontation between Gazan and Nigzal. Let's move on. Okay. So the Gemara says, okay. So now, continuing, more on this topic. So again, Shmuel's position is that when you have purchased a field with title insurance, and now the field is taken away from you, so what can you collect as reimbursement? Only purchase price. You can't collect shevach. That's Shmuel's position. And the reason why is explained by Rav Nachman is because mechzei karibis. Again, just look at it from an outsider's viewpoint. I gave him X, I got back X plus Y in terms of money. Mechzei karibis. So the Gemara says, Savar Shmuel lokech migazon leflei shivcha. So the Gemara says, really, really? Are we sure about this? So v'ham, Rav Shmuel Rav China bar Shulas Imlech, uchziv mishifra shivcha perei. So the Gemara says, okay, remember we did this yesterday, so we get to review. And remember yesterday, I just ran over this. I didn't explain this with any detail. I told you to look at Rashi. I'll tell you the same thing. Go back to Yudal and Madalif, look at the Rashi over there. Rashi explains, but I'll just keep it simple. And that is that when Shmuel, whenever there's a sale, so Shmuel tells the sofer, here are the questions you need to ask. You, the seller, you're providing title insurance? That's fantastic. In other words, if you're providing title insurance, you're writing into the document. And if you're not providing title insurance, then we're not writing into the document. You recall yesterday's daf? If title insurance is not written into the document, so then there is no insurance. In other words, there's no coverage. And if the property is taken away from the buyer, so the buyer goes after the seller and the seller says, sorry, right? You weren't insured on the sale. Okay, good. But in other words, but Shmuel says to the sofer, you're going to ask the seller, what are you ready to cover? And you're going to be covering, right, Imlech, ask him, and Uksov, Shufra, Shivcha, Upeira. So in other words, are you covering Shufra, that's the best of your property? In other words, you're going to be paying back with Yidis, and Shevach Upeira, and when you are going to be providing coverage, you're also going to be providing coverage for Shevach and Peiros. This is now Shmuel. So the Gemara says, obviously over here, but my Iba Balchov Miyasle Peirei. So the Gemara says, now we're not talking about, this is not for a loan. Because had it been for a loan, there's no payers by a loan. There's no reimbursement of payers by a loan. You don't have a lien on the payers. So over here, what are we talking about? We're talking about the title insurance that you're providing for a sale. And again, what's happening over here is that you sold the property and then the property is taken away from the buyer. Why? Because the seller was a thief and the property was stolen. And now what the seller is seeking is reimbursement for principal and shevach. Okay. And it certainly sounds like over here he's going to be able to seek reimbursement for principal and shevach. And again, we're all confused because Shmuel says you can't get reimbursement for shevach. So I'm Rav Yosef. So the Gemara says, So what's happening over here is that the mocher under this particular case is talking about where the mocher actually has property. In other words, another piece of property. So Amalei Abai v'chimoto lo v'sab v'sab v'makam sheish lo karka. So the Gemara says, okay. So in other words, what we're doing is that we're replacing one property with another property. Okay, that's what's called sa'a b'sa'a. Okay, so everyone get ready because what we're going to be doing in the fifth parak is we're going to learn a lot about ribbis. And you're going to hear this expression. We're all going to hear this expression multiple times in the fifth parak. And that is that what you can't do is that because it looks like ribbis, you can't exchange one commodity for another commodity because of the fluctuating prices. And you may get back and forth, in fact, more than what you gave. Okay, so Amalei Hasa Mahava Hachazvine. So the Gemara says, no, Sabasa is problematic when it comes to a loan. This is a sale that's different. In other words, there's no problem of ribbis whatsoever. Okay, so one way to explain, in other words, we just learned together that for the title insurance that's provided by the seller, so now as part of the coverage, he's going to give back purchase price and he's going to give back shevach. But that goes against Shmuel. Shmuel says that you don't get shevach. You don't get a reimbursement for shevach. The Gemara says this is talking about a case where the seller had other properties. Unusual, by the way. The seller's a thief, but okay. I'll leave that alone. So the Gemara says, or alternatively, Shmuel's talking about where there was a kinyan. There was a kinyan, that's great. In other words, if the issue is mechzei karibis, if it looks like interest, so then you did a kinyan. Kinyan's not going to help you by ribis. I'm going to charge you with interest. Let's make a kinyan. It's still ribis. So the Gemara says, So the Gemara says, yeah, I know, but again, in other words, when we're talking about an actual loan, so then that's an issue. But over here, we're not talking about a loan, we're talking about a sale. And over here, we're talking about getting reimbursed because the sale failed. In other words, you sold me property and the property was taken away from me. And now all I'm doing is seeking a reimbursement on the sale. So over here, as long as we do a kinyan, so then what I can do now is I can get reimbursement both on the purchase price and on the shevach as well. Okay? We're almost done. I know. A lot of Gemaras today. Really, a lot. Regarding the ability of a buyer in terms of seeking reimbursement and what exactly is going to get reimbursed for. It's such an unbelievable detail in a scenario. I don't know how often it happened, but in Achinam, the Gemara is spending a good amount of time over here. Gufo, we continue. Amar Shmuel Balchov, Govetz HaShevach, Govetz HaShevach. Now, when you're a Balchov, so you collect Shevach. Okay, so now let's... In passing, we made the following comment. Now let's spend a couple of minutes together with the statement of Shmuel. Okay, so we were talking about a failed sale and the buyer's ability to get reimbursed. Good, that's what we were talking about. Now we move the discussion of the Gemara to just a standard creditor who's exercising his lien. Okay, so now, what was the loan? Let's call $1,000. Okay, I'll just keep it nice and simple. Good. And now, default of the loan. So now the lender says, okay, great. So let's go. Give me the properties. Okay, properties were sold. Okay, that's great. I have a lien. Good. So now he's following the properties. Now he's collecting the properties. So Shmuel says that when you're collecting properties, you can collect both its appraised value, right, at the time of the sale, or let's call it the purchase price, and you can also collect Shevach as well. In other words, improvements went into the property, and what you can now do is you can collect that as well. Now, obviously, you can't collect above the loan value. Okay. In other words, so you only have a lien up to the value of the loan. But again, if let's say the property is worth $800 and now the Shevach brings it up to $1,000, you can collect property and you can collect Shevach as well. Great. That's Shmuel's position. Amarav Atidah Shekach Kosev Lo Mochel Lokeach Anam Ekun. So the Gemara says that on this position, so I know that Shmuel's right. Why? Because when you are writing your title insurance in a sale, so you write the following, Anam Ekum V'Ashpe V'Adike V'Amarik Zvine Elaine Inon V'Amalein V'Shiv Chayun. You understood all that? No. Me neither. Well, what's it called? That's not true. I get the basic gist. But my Aramaic is shaky. It's so funny. I've been teaching Gemara for years, okay, but I can't speak Aramaic. I've told you this before. You want to test your Aramaic, see how good your Aramaic is. Open up Sefer Daniel and read it, right? In other words, it's Tanakh, and meanwhile, it's written in Aramaic. Okay, there are a couple of foreign languages that made it into Tanakh, right? Soon enough, we're going to be reading Megillah Esther, right? Really soon enough, and so over there we got some. We got some unusual Persian words happening in the Megillah. In Sefer Daniel, so some of it, a good part of it, is written in Aramaic. So if you think you can speak Aramaic, so open up Sefer Daniel. If you understand, you're good. If you don't, okay. So you've heard me say this before. To learn Gemara, you don't need an extensive vocabulary, right? It's I would say it's simple, by the way, but that's a little bit unfair. I've been doing it for years. But it really is not extensive vocabulary in terms of the Gemara. So you really don't have to know a lot of Aramaic to be able to read and learn Gemara. Okay. So and once we get to a contract, meaning right now we're quoting from the contract. This is a contracted coverage that is written from the seller to the buyer. Here's what I'm covering. And you can see now that I'm going to struggle just explaining. But I get the basic gist of it. And that is, this is a part of the coverage. What I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be covering, right, the purchase price. I'm going to be covering the Shevach as well. The Ekim Karka Vitzavis Vina Dinan. Okay. The Kabbal Alayhu. Okay, good. And I'm a Kabbal. So in other words, what the seller now is doing is that he's writing coverage for the property. And so what comes out over here is as follows. So what the mocher is now doing is that the mocher is promising the buyer that I'm going to be covering you not only for the purchase price, but for the Shevach as well. So it's fair to assume that if the seller is providing coverage for everything, including Shevach, So a borrower who now is going to be meshabed his properties is also going to be meshabed his properties, including shevach as well. Amrle, Rabbi Chaya Bravan Le Rava Lamiata Matana Delot Sivle Hachi Hachanami Delotar Shivcha. So he says, okay, that's so funny. So you know when you gift, so you know you're not writing up anything on the gift. So over here you're going to tell me that by a gift, let's say for example, you gifted property to somebody, and meanwhile the creditor had a lien on that property. So now the creditor is going to come and collect from that. You mean to tell me that because there was no documentation, and because the gifter didn't write anything up in terms of what he's prepared to cover on the gift, you mean to tell me now that the creditor is not going to be able to collect the shevach? Amalei in, he says, yeah, that's actually a correct conclusion. V'chi yafa koach matan mimecher. So the Gemara says, well, that's so funny now. Now it comes out now that the creditor is going to have a better time collecting from sold properties than from gifted properties. And that's strange. That's really strange. Meaning a creditor now, after a sold property, now keep in mind, a sold property means somebody paid money for that property. And meanwhile, you're a creditor, you can now collect the purchase price and you can collect shevach as well. But a gifted property where the receiver didn't do anything to receive it, and meanwhile, you can only collect the purchase price, but you can't collect shevach. That's weird. So I'm really in yafa v'yafa. The Gemara says, yeah, I know. But in other words, that's the way these things work. Meaning, because on the sale, so there's a document in which you outline exactly what you're covering. So yeah, you're right. Okay. Amar of Nachman Hamasisa Masai Leila Marshmo. Good. So Abalchov now is collecting. So again, we turned our Gemara's attention today now from a sale to that of just a regular creditor. And a regular creditor is going to be able to exercise his lien in collecting the property, both its purchase price property and shevach as well, and its improved value as well. How do I know that? Because the Gemara says the following. Let's start off with the following brisa. So kishu gova gova kerem minachas meshuban meshevach gova minachas b'nei chorin. Good. So as far as now, when the creditor exercises lien, so what did the creditor take from the buyer? He took the purchase price value of the property, and he also took the shevach as well. Again, assuming that the loan, right, for satisfaction of the loan value. Good. Now, as far as now the buyer of the property, so now he's going to want to get reimbursed, and okay, fine. But the point is, in other words, but the main point is that the creditor can come and take the property together with the shevach. Now, as far as Huna is concerned, he looked at the brisa. No, that brisa was talking about the reimbursement that happens to the buyer who bought from a thief, meaning not our discussion. Okay. Tanya Irach, the Gemara quotes another brisa. And Yitzia mi Balchov. Vima Yitzia Ser al Shevach Enlo Ela Yitzia Shir Shevach mi Balchov. Okay. So here in the Brisa, the following. You sell a piece of property, and what you do is that you put improvements into the property, and now the property went up in value. Great. So, and what happens is that there was a creditor, and the creditor comes and takes back the property. So now, what you would like to do is that you, the buyer of that property, wants now to get reimbursed. Okay, so if the shevach exceeds the yitzia, now remember, when we're talking about the improvement of the property and the improved value of the property, what we're assuming is that what the buyer did after he purchased a property is that he invested, held on to all of his receipts, and so now the $1,000 property, so he threw in $100 into the property, and the property went up to, I don't know, $1,500. Okay, great. Good. So now when the buyer has the property taken away from him, so the purchase price of the property was $1,000. Good. So that obviously is going to get reimbursed from the seller, obviously. In other words, but now what about the shevach? What is he? Where's that coming from? Now the hotzaos. Oh, this is important. Now, in other words, the actual money that he put into the property, that he is going to that is going to get reimbursed by the owner, right? That's going to get reimbursed by the seller. That's going to get reimbursed by the seller. You'd see a mibal chov, and now here's where it gets a little bit complicated, and that is as follows. In other words, as far as shevach is concerned, shevach is coming from the seller. Sorry, hotzaos are coming from the creditor, from the lien holder, because the lien holder now is going to have to reimburse for any money that was actually put into the property. So, as far as now, the buyer getting reimbursed. So, if the follow over here, and I know this part's a little bit complicated. So, if the shevach exceeds the yitziah, so what he's going to do is he's going to take the shevach from the bal karka and the yitziah from the bal chov. Fine. And if the yitziah, in other words, over here now, the person who purchased the property sunk a whole lot of money into the property, and the truth of the matter is that the improved value did not exceed the amount of money that he sunk in. So the So the lien holder now is going to say, look, I appreciate the fact that you invested so much money into the property, but just because you decided that you're going to throw a whole bunch of money into the property, I'm not going to pay you for all that money that you sunk into the property. In other words, that was a failed business venture by you. Right? In other words, you threw in $500 into the property and the property only went up in value $300. I'm going to be paying you $300. In other words, I'm getting now a $1,300 piece of property. You sunk in another $200. That's your issue. That's not my issue. Good. Anyway, what comes out over here is as follows. V'ashmol b'may mukim lai b'lokech migazan kasha reisha amashmol lokech migazan leislei shivcha. So the Gemara says, okay, now exactly who's seeking reimbursement over here? Are we talking about where you bought it from a gazlan? Well, that goes back to the beginning of today's daf. The beginning of today's daf we learned together that Shmuel says is that if you bought from a gazlan, so you're going to get reimbursement for a purchase price, but not for shevach. And I balchov kasha reisha v'seifa. Damer Shmuel balchov govitz v'shevach. So the as far as a regular creditor is concerned, we know that Shmuel's of the position you collect the shevach. So the Gemara says one of two possibilities. One possibility is that no, you are getting a reimbursement from the gazlan. How are you getting reimbursed for the shevach? Because the gazlan has another piece of property, as we described earlier today. Alternatively, there was a kinyan that was done. Or we could be talking about a standard balchov. And lokasha kan v'shevach. We're making the term. We're on the amud beis. Kan she'shevach amegiel l'ktefayim. Kan v'shevach she'eino megiel l'ktefayim. In other words, we're talking about the improved property because there is actual growth on the property, right? It's so funny. We talk about shevach. We think about how I purchased a house for this much. And now it's worth this much. But in other words, but shevach in its most classic sense is that, what shevach did I put into the property? I'm growing produce on the field. Oh, okay, good. And now the property value is improved because there's growth in the field. So if the growth is megielik tefayim, literally shoulder length, which means that whatever you're growing, the produce on the field, is now reached its full height. The only thing that they need to do now is be cut. So at that point in time, they fall under the category of peros. On the other hand, if they are anomegielik tefayim, if they have not reached full growth, they're part and parcel of the land and therefore qualify as shevach. So the Gemara says, v'amasim b'chol yom v'hamag b'shmol afilo shevach hamegielik tefayim. So the Gemara says, yeah, but I'm telling you, though, that I've been in the courtroom of Shmuel, and I saw that what he allows creditors to come and to collect is not only the shevach of the property, but even grain that has reached its full growth, and I saw Shmuel allow the creditors to take that as well. So Lokasha, ha masik be kishir ara v'shivcha, and ha delo masik be ela kishir ara di'ayv le'shivcha u'mesalaklei. So the Gemara says, well, again, by the way, if you're in Shmuel's courtroom, so then you just have to be more observant. You just have to. You have to see what's going on. Meaning, what are you watching? You're watching Shmuel collect even from grains that have reached full growth. Okay, do you know how much the loan value was? In other words, the creditor now is coming in because he has got a lien. And if the land itself is not satisfying his lien, i.e. the land is not reaching the value of the loan, so then what he's allowed to do is he's allowed to collect more. No. So the Gemara says, "Hanich leman damar yisle zuzel lokech lamatzim asak lebal chov shapir." Elaman damar yisle zuzel lokech matzim asak lebal chov nemalei ilo havele zuzel hava mesakina mikula ara hashda delesle zuzel havele garba dara barashir shavchai. So the Gemara says, "Okay, but you know there is a basic debate that we go through a number of times whenever we're discussing a creditor and him exercising his lien." Can the buyer of a property say to the creditor, "Hey, I know you have a lien. I really like this property. I'm gonna satisfy the obligation. I'm gonna keep the property." Can the buyer say that to the lien holder? Yes or no? It's a machlokas. So the Gemara says, if you take the position that the buyer of the property can say to the lien holder, "Hey, I'm gonna buy out the loan. I'm just going to satisfy the loan. I'm going to keep the property." If you subscribe to that viewpoint, so if there's now growth on the property and the growth has reached full growth, so why can't now the seller of the property say to the lien holder, "Look, take part of the property, take the grains as well. Let me keep part of the property." So the Gemara says, "Hacha b'maiskin and kagon shasu apotiki damalei lo yelecha piron elamiza." Okay, the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. In other words, even if I subscribe to the viewpoint that a buyer can go ahead and pay off the loan and pay the lien holder, even if I subscribe to that viewpoint, not if it's an apotiki is where it is an identified lien. In other words, apotiki is what we do nowadays when we borrow money on the bank to buy our houses. That's an apotiki. In other words, we're telling the bank, this is the land that is securing the loan. Okay, so in other words, so in the case of a potiki, the lien holder can go ahead and exercise that lien, and the buyer of that property cannot stop the lien holder from doing so. Okay, good. Okay, I'm going to stop over here. The next topic, new topic, and quite frankly, somewhat easier topic, but okay, good. All right, what's it called? In terms of summary today, it's actually really straightforward, even though I admit the back and forth of the Gemara today was complicated. But the summary is very straightforward. And that is that when it comes to you purchased a property from a Goslin, that property was taken away from you, and now you're going for Goslin because he sold you the property with title insurance. So purchase price, full coverage for purchase price. What about Shevach? Shmuel said no. Shmuel said, "No, you're not going to get reimbursed Shevach. Why? Mechze Karibis." And we spent a good amount of today's daf, Tes Vav, Amud Aleph, right, almost the entirety of the Amud Aleph of today's daf, talking about this halacha of Shmuel, and that you cannot get reimbursed for your Shevach because Mechze Karibis, because it looks like interest. Okay. There are exceptions. We went over the exceptions. What if you get, instead of getting reimbursed money, get reimbursed property? That would be an exception. What if you make a kinyan? That would be another exception. Good. And then part two of today's daf, and that's going to be, what about a creditor is exercising a lien? A creditor exercising a lien, can he collect Shevach? On that, Shmuel said yes. In other words, for that, you're allowed to do so. And the Gemara spent the rest of the Amud Aleph and part of Amud Beis discussing the second halach of Shmuel.